Let's go to the Lord in word of prayer. Mr. Gracious Heavenly Father, once again we give thanks for your abundant mercy and your love toward us sinners. We're thankful that you have provided a way whereby we have access unto thee, where our conscience is clear, having been purged by the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, not only legally at the cross, but practically in our minds as we by faith believe in him to answer all our problems. We're also thankful, Lord, for the opportunity in this little round of sin and sorrow to walk in such a way that is acceptable in thy sight. What a privilege it is to know the living Savior, to know the God of God, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, as creatures of this earthly domain, and to walk in such a way to praise and to honor the Creator. It's so prevalent today, Lord, that darkness seems to prevail in the hearts and minds of people. They live according to their own wishes, serving their self in the materialistic and hedonistic way of this world, without ever knowing, thinking, or trusting in God of the universe. For this we are indeed thankful that you have shed your grace upon us, open our eyes, and reveal to us your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We are so thankful. We also, Lord, remember those that are sick and afflicted today, those who have, especially if we think about the Parkers, mourn the loss of their dear mother. And we do pray, Lord, that you would bless the family and encourage them as the word of the Lord. This song that we just sung, Lord, reminds us that the end of life is not necessarily the worst of times. It seems, according to this world, the end of life is a bad time. But this song reminds us of how sweet it is as we grow old, as we near the crossing of the Jordan and entering into the promised land. A great hope and encouragement to the sons of Adam. We also are thankful, Lord, for those here that are about to start their journey as a family. We ask that you would bless them. May they live in such a way that honors the word. We also pray for the preaching of the gospel this morning, that you would bless Brother Steve as he opens up to us the scriptures, and that the word may produce abundant fruit in our hearts, that we may be encouraged in the things of the Lord and trust that you will be with us this week. Forgive us once again of our sins, and we pray for those, our loved ones, who are not with us. We ask the Lord that you would bless them, wherever they may be, and give them encouragement and help them to be strengthened in the word of the Lord. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Just want to share with you a hymn this morning as we just look at it briefly. In fact, if you have your hymn book, which I know you do, if you would open up to, I think it's 314. No, that's not it. Anyway, this hymn, as I find it, has a particular phrase in it that I think substitutes what I think sums up an evangelical approach, 302, as to what we believe. In two words, we often wonder how and what we should say if we're ever given the opportunity to share what we believe the gospel to be. I mean, what is the gospel to each and every one of us? I'm sure we can think of a lot of things. When we think of these two words, though, which I think this song portrays, to me, is a wonderful way to share the gospel. We are evangelical in some sort of character, not only as a church, but each of us individually, as we walk this earth and we share the good news. Brother Steve speaks of the good news. And this song here, 302, is called Hail Sovereign Love. But the two words I find very appropriate, as it displays to me the very context of the whole gospel, is this hiding place. Think about that for a minute. hiding place. Somebody says, well, what is the gospel? Can you describe to me the gospel in something simple that I can understand? And I would answer, hiding place. Well, what are we hiding from? Where are we hiding? You know? Well, let's look at this. Verse 1. Hail, sovereign love, that first began the scheme to rescue fallen man. So immediately this writer tells us of the scheme or the plan of salvation. Salvation is just not something that we happenstance upon in this life. That we just stumble across, or thanks be to God for the coincidence that somebody shared with me the gospel of Christ. Now, there's much more to it. There's a plan. And that plan was put in place by God Almighty in eternity past. It's a scheme he refers to here, a scheme to rescue fallen man. The purpose of Christ coming into this world was to save us. And it's backed up by this humongous plan God had for us in eternity past. Hail, matchless, free, eternal grace that gave my soul a hiding place. So the purpose of God's plan is to give each one of his elect a place to hide. That's good. A hiding place, okay? But what are we hiding from? Notice our own nature. Here's how we respond by our Adamic nature. For this is how we respond naturally. Against the God that rules the sky, I fought with hand uplifted high. Despised his rich abounding grace, too proud to seek a hiding place. That to me is the pinnacle for the height of human depravity. That we literally shake our hands against God who desires our good. And we refuse him. Enwrapped in thick, verse 2, in Egyptian night. And fond of darkness more than light. We love darkness more than light. This Egyptian night probably has reference to the darkness that the Egyptians experienced during those plagues while the children of Israel dwelt safely in their homes under the protection of the blood. This darkness was so thick that they could feel it. They couldn't do nothing as a result of it. They couldn't see the hand in front of their face. That's how dark it was. But the scripture says that there was light in the dwellings of the Israelites. It says, madly I ran the sinful race, secure without a hiding place, continually exhibiting a person's departure from the living God. And while departing from the living God, pursuing his or her own pursuits. And secure, totally satisfied by nature, without a hiding place. Now that's a scary thought, isn't it? Not everybody feels the need of security, spiritually speaking. But thus the eternal council ran. Something happened. In this person's position of security in his own self, something happened. Something caused that man to turn. And the eternal counsel that was set forth in eternity past comes to light in a practical way, and Almighty love says, arrest that man. I felt the arrows of distress and found I had no hiding place. Now watch this. This is beautiful. Here's a man by nature, or a woman, in a generic term, who doesn't feel any sorrow about their own plight, any hope of eternity, any fault of God, but all of a sudden, by sovereign grace, God reaches down and pursues us. And he stops us in our tracks. This is what I mean by the gospel. Very simple. Two words. Hiding place. I felt the arrows of distress before I ever possibly had known the truth of the gospel, read the record for myself, ever attended church, really didn't know anything about it. But something happened in my heart that made me feel I was immediately in distress as a result of that. Somehow I fell short of the glory of God. Indignant justice stood in view. I'll tell you where I might find rest in that place of hiding. I ran to Sinai's mouth. But what happened? Well, justice stood with frowning face. This mountain is no hiding place. I went to the mountain of Mount Sinai, right? What did I find? Fear, trembling, because there I saw God and holy. And his justice stood over top my terrible position, and I felt that that certainly wasn't a place of peace. I felt condemned. The law magnified my transgressions. I am a sinner. There was no peace at that mountain. Ere long, a heavenly voice I heard, and mercy's angel form appeared, who led me on with gentle pace to Jesus as my hiding place. Now, that's an interesting point. Just real quick, I believe that's a picture, and a picture of all the ministry of the Word of God. Here's a person that, under the arrows of God's Holy Spirit, felt a distress within, and then, by the wonderful providence of God, we find a path to our ultimate hiding place, in the sense that the gospel points, directs the ministers, the church, the people of God, they bless us with the words of salvation, and they direct our path to Jesus as my hiding place. Now, in the last stanza, it says, should storms of thundering vengeance roll and shake the earth from pole to pole, no flaming bolt shall daunt my face, for Jesus is my hiding place. As if this person is saying that now that I am secure in Christ, there's nothing that can remove me from the everlasting love which I have in Him. It's secure. No matter what happens, I am secure in Christ. A few more rolling suns at most. This is your life summed up. A few more rolling suns at most will land you safe on Canaan's coast, where I shall sing the song of grace and see my glorious life. May the Lord bless you.
Amen.